Labor leader Anthony Mazzocchi died Saturday at the age of 76 of pancreatic cancer. From the mid-60s to the early 90s, he was a leader of the Oil, Chemical, and Atomic Workers Union. He was one of the first union leaders to work in alliance with the environmental movement and was one of the forces behind the passage of OSHA, the Occupational Health and Safety Act. It was Mazzocchi who convinced Karen Silkwood to talk with a New York Times reporter about her accusation that she and other workers were being exposed to radiation at a nuclear fuel rod processing plant in Oklahoma. She died in a car crash on the way to meet the reporter. Her story was dramatized in a movie starring Meryl Streep. Mazzocchi left the union in 1991, disillusioned with the Democratic Party, which he believed took organized labor for granted. He founded a new party, the Labor Party. He hoped the party would reinvigorate the labor movement. I spoke with Mazzocchi in 1995 when he was planning the founding convention.
We want to become a movement again. The only gains that people have made in this nation, working people, have been through movements, civil rights movement, the labor movement, the environmental movement. Legislation has only been a reaction to the existence of these movements. What this effort is all about is the recreation of a new movement and the rejuvenation of a culture that once existed, a working class culture in this country. So part of this task in creating a party, a class party, we make no bones about it. This is going to be a party of the working class. We'll break down the nonsense that we're the middle class, we're the working class.
You say you want a working class culture. I'm not sure what working class means anymore. There was a time when working class was understood to mean people who worked in factories, people who did manual labor. A lot of those factory jobs don't exist anymore. What does working class mean?
Well, that's an ill definition of working class. When I grew up, working class meant anyone who worked for a wage and wasn't a manager or a small business person. Whether you're a white-collar or a blue-collar person, it never was meant to just encompass blue-collar workers. An office clerical worker is a member of the working class. They work for someone. And that's a large group of people. In a culture that existed when I came into this workforce, you understood the value of organization, of unions. You supported unions. In those days, if you lived in a neighborhood, it was a working class neighborhood, and you scabbed on a strike, you probably could not come back to that neighborhood. Scabs had to be imported. People understood the nature of their class, and they knew the nature of those who were benefiting at their expense. That's been muddied over recent years due to a whole host of circumstances.
I'm interested in how you first got involved in labor. Did your father work in a union or your mother?
Well, my father was a trade unionist, the Amalgamated Clothing Workers. He was an immigrant, came here in 1900, deeply involved in many labor struggles, was pro-Roosevelt to his core, and learned about labor unions around a dinner table during the Depression. I myself became active in the labor movement when I left the Army at the end of World War II and went to work in the automobile industry and then ultimately in the chemical industry. And
what kind of work were you doing in the chemical industry?
Oh, just ordinary work of mixing large groups of chemicals one to another, not knowing what they were, and mixing them under directions of someone else, and did various jobs. But I became a union official 2 or 3 years into work, and basically worked full-time for the union ever since then.
So when you started working with chemicals, I believe that was in the cosmetics industry?
Yes, just bulk chemicals and making a product that looked harmless.
So when did you start thinking that the vats of chemicals you were working with might actually be harmful and you wanted to know more about them?
Well, I think basically that occurred in the very early 60s when I in the 50s, I thought most of the problems were in the radioactive industries because we represented nuclear workers in my own union. But then when I became legislative director for my union in Washington, I began to hear complaints from workers all over the country about particular substances in their workplace. And I saw this as a trend, and what I thought were only isolated instances of problems, I began to see it as a collective trend that no workplace was safe. No one really knew what they work with, and no one actually measured the amount of toxics that were introduced into the workplace in any meaningful way. And there weren't any federal laws that addressed these problems, and the state laws were ridiculous to start with. So that began the agitation for a national law.
You were one of the key people behind the scenes who worked to pass OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Act, that was signed into effect by President Nixon in 1970. It set safety standards for workers and provided for plant inspections and for enforcement. What did you want out of that?
We wanted a workplace free of hazard, and the law provides that. Its fundamental tenet is the workplace shall be free of all hazard. And by the way, you've cited a clear example of why a movement is necessary rather than embracing the existing political parties. It was under Lyndon Johnson and the Democrats. We couldn't even get that law out of committee. We got it out of committee during the Nixon era and got it passed, not because Nixon was a friend of working people, but because people were in motion in movements, the environmental movement and reinvigorated labor movement who came to life around this issue.
You know, there's so many different groups that have thought of a third party, but they've often thought of a third party that would unite a lot of different groups. You know, the Rainbow Coalition idea, for instance, where you take a lot of people who felt disenfranchised for one reason or another and you build a party around them or build a movement around them. You know, and I think the National Organization for Women has considered this kind of thing, too. But why start a labor party as opposed to a party that would be have a broader definition?
Well, we think a labor party is the broadest definition. It's a class party. It incorporates all the people you're talking about. Look, the most integrated places in America are workplaces. Those are the most integrated places. Where do you find the most people of color? You find them working. You find them as members of unions. Some of the top leadership doesn't reflect that. But where the people are, that's where you see the average American are in workplaces. So we have our conceptualization is the broadest conceptualization, incorporating a hell of a lot of people. Now we have to define what our agenda is, and once it's defined, to work with others who support this particular movement. And we're not building it around an individual. We've looked at third-party efforts in this country, and most of them collapsed after an election. The person that they were supporting did not receive an appropriate amount of votes, they disappeared the very next day. We're going beyond that. Someday, we may run people for elective office, but they will have to grow out of a movement. The movement will have to define who they are and who they're responsible to.
You have held office within the Oil, Chemical, and Atomic Workers Union, and you ran for president a couple of times, narrowly lost. Do you ever find yourself wishing that you had run for electoral office?
Well, I made that mistake one time in 1964. I had the nomination to run for Congress in Long Island, and I bowed out because the party felt that because of my position on nuclear weapons testing, I was opposed to it, thought I would hurt the party in Long Island, and I withdrew, and a substitute was introduced for me, Lester Wolf, actually, went on to be a congressperson. I'm glad I never chose that route. At one time, I thought I could do something there, but I realized that that would have been a comfortable, nonsensical life where I wouldn't have really been able to had an impact. I think I've been able to do more in the position I've been in.
Labor leader Anthony Mazzocchi, recorded in 1995. He died Saturday at the age of 76 of pancreatic cancer. This is Fresh Air.